Ian Basarabi joining us. We're talking about the future of work. And Ian, this morning we want to chat about the customer experience. Take us through this as a concept.
Morning, Howard. This is pretty much one of the most exciting parts of my discussions, because sometimes we very much overlook the customer. We get so caught up in internal stuff, and that's what we've really been doing a lot with our segments up until now, the future of work. But now we really talk about the customer. And I'd really like to hear from the listeners to weigh in if they feel that there's a difference between customer service and customer experience. And is there a difference? If people don't think there's a difference, tell us. But
customer service
and customer experience.
And customer experience, yeah. All right.
And how do you define the two? Because it's becoming something that is setting organizations apart. It's setting brands apart. Mm. And it's really unpacking what are customers' expectations. What are customers really, really wanting? And the one thing that's been very interesting for me over the last couple of weeks is I've been doing some training that has really taken me into a different space compared to my business experience. And I always find that what we've done a lot in business is we focus on behavior. We focus on people's behavior. But we tend to forget about people's feelings. We don't really focus on how people feel. And we judge how a person is satisfied or dissatisfied by how they behave. So if you get somebody who phones you in and they're an irate person or an irate caller, you immediately assume that they've had a bad service or that. And if somebody's very pleasant on the phone, you think, well, they've had good service. But that's not necessarily true, because that's their behavior. But you don't really know how they're feeling. And a way to judge that is to say, does that person come back?
Okay.
And that's a key thing. So for me, it's really about, are we really tapping into our customers' feelings?
Right, but doesn't it start a little bit earlier? You know, a lot of the organizations, certainly that I deal with, I find there's a tendency to look inward and not outward. In other words, forget about the customer and focus on how proud we are of our business and what it is that we do. And of course, when we look at companies like Kodak, who were in the business of, what they were meant to be doing was preserving our memories in the cheapest way possible and the most efficient way possible in the 20th century, but they got very caught up in what they thought their business was, which was printing and physical photographs. So what that does is that it makes them look at what their business is and not what their customers wanted. And by doing so, they actually lost their whole business.
Absolutely. And I think that comes with a bit of arrogance, and probably a lot of arrogance, is that you become arrogant and you start to believe that you know what your customers need or what your customers want from you. And the worst thing you can do is to walk into a meeting or a discussion having a preemptive plan of what you're going to sell or what you're going to tell the customer they need.
Rather than listening to them.
Absolutely. You know, the worst thing that a salesperson can do is go and put up a PowerPoint presentation and tell the person how good their brand is and how good their product is before they've even asked what the customer is looking for. Because you may turn a customer off just because you've said something or you've omitted something that was important to them. So you're right, is that we focus too much on what we believe, what we want to say, and less about what our customers are actually saying or what they're feeling.
Right. So how do we do that?
So I think the first thing is we need to distinguish between what is customer experience and what is customer service. So the simplest way I define it is that customer service anybody can do. I was telling somebody yesterday that even Home Affairs can give customer service. You know what I mean? Customer service is
in fact, South Africa is a perfect example of it. We are often very, very polite, and people that come here from overseas will joke about it. You go to a hotel and they'll just be so kind and so sweet, but so useless. So they don't get something done for you. They're not necessarily efficient, but very, very nice about it.
And they do the job. You know, you go in there, you want your ID, you want your passport, you want your documentation, and you get it. That's customer service. So it's a once-off event. And that's customer service. And I think pretty much anybody can give customer service. The difference between customer service and customer experience is the total interaction a customer has through your organization, every interaction they have with people within your organization, interactions they have with your brand, and what that makes them feel. And if we use an example, it's when you walk into a coffee shop or when you walk into an environment and they say, good morning, Mr. Feldman, how are you? Usual table. Mr. Feldman, can I get you your drink? How are you this morning? Just those little interactions of really acknowledging you as an individual and acknowledging you as someone important is part of that experience. And that is where the differentiator is because you feel like you want to go back for that experience over and over again.
As opposed to walking in and sitting down ungreeted, but somebody comes up to you and very efficiently brings you your coffee.
Absolutely.
So that is service, not experience.
Yeah. And usually what we do is we associate service with a reactive process. We go to customer service when we've got a problem. We go to customer service when we need something. Whereas customer experience tends to be more proactive and more about thinking about you as the customer and saying, Mr. Feldman, we found something that was untoward on your account. We'd like to have a chat with you about it. And that's really about how you start to look at your outward looking approach to your customers in the sense that they are your benchmark, not your sales numbers, not your everybody can do a customer survey and people will just hit 555 or 444. That doesn't really tell you whether you're having a good experience. The way you tell if a customer's having a good experience is what are they saying about you and are they coming back?
Absolutely fascinating. I'd love your thoughts on it. It is 8:24. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM. We're going to take some music. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Ian Bessarabi chatting to us about customer service, customer experience. We are going to be going to the tech report in just a moment, so we'll come back to you after that. But just something to think about is how do we ensure that our customers have a good customer experience versus decent customer service?
So it's an interesting, there's a new metric that's being looked at in terms of customer lifetime value. Now, what is customer lifetime value? Mm-hmm. Customer lifetime value is measuring, as I said just before the break, how do customers come back and how do they interact? How do they talk about you? Listening, we talk about social listening. Social listening is how are customers talking about you on social media. We all know that social media is a double-edged sword. You know, it can either be very good for your brand or it can be very negative. So it's about actively engaging with customers and acting on what they're saying. And that for me is something that people often don't take into consideration. It's amazing how they say, please fill out this market survey. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And then you kind of feel like, well, what happened? And I pulled out this document, but nobody came back to me or that. The interesting thing, and this is something that companies need to be very cognizant of, is that consumers, customers, clients, whatever you want to call them, have choice. They're spoiled for choice. And that means that you've got to work harder at retaining these customers because if they find something convenient, even if it's a little bit more expensive, if it's convenient and they can get a good experience out of the whole transaction process, they will move very quickly.
Well, it's interesting you say that because Benjamin says exactly that. Hi, whenever I get bad service from an establishment, whether it's lackadaisical or rude, I will never patronize them again. It's their place. They can keep it. We're going to be back with Ian just after links back to your conversation about customer service versus customer experience. How does it do that?
So Stephen mentioned a very interesting point, and that was about that why we cannot deliver the ecosystem. And if you translate the ecosystem is effectively the experience. So with them coming up with a fantastic operating system, Huawei, that they say is going to be fantastic, it may deliver a service. It may give you the service. It may do whatever they promise. So you'll never be able to fault Huawei on it, but they won't be able to integrate into Google. They won't be able to integrate into WhatsApp. They won't be able to integrate into all of the apps and conveniences that we've become accustomed to, and that's the experience. So for me, even though Huawei is promising and committing to their existing customer base, don't worry – we will support you, we will do everything. They're not going to win their customers over because they cannot deliver that end-to-end experience. And that is something that...
Which might not be their fault, but they
absolutely.
Can't.
Absolutely. And I think that's the challenge that one has, is sometimes these things are out of your control. So, and to what Stephen was saying as well, I think Samsung have actually taken advantage of the situation, is because there's a group out there of consumers. If we just look in the space, there's a group of consumers that are a little bit disappointed with the iPhone. They haven't really seen the iPhone move in terms of advancements. Huawei came out with a very cost-effective phone in terms of their smartphone range, their upmarket smartphone range, which was the Pros and the Mates and all of that, which was very interesting because people could now afford a very good smartphone but a fraction of the price. Now, all of a sudden, Huawei have this issue with America, and like you said, it's out of their control, whereas now Samsung, and I don't think it's available in South Africa, but I know in some other countries, Samsung were actually offering you a trade-in on your Huawei for an S10. So there, once again, it's how do you capitalize sometimes on somebody else's bad experience?
It sounds terrible, but that's
what competitive business is all about. And I think in wrapping up where we've gone with this whole thing is that customer experience can work against you when it fails, as we've seen, but it can also be huge. And I read a stat this morning that according to Google, 13% of dissatisfied customers tell more than 20 people about their experience, while positive experiences are shared with less than half this number. So if you think about it, you have to work 6 times more to attract a new customer than it does to keep an old one. So businesses cannot afford for their customers to have bad experiences. So for me, you really have to make sure your customers are valued and respected. I think there's a big thing about value and respect, which organizations have missed, and you really need to see your customer experience the way your customers see it.
It's so interesting because many organizations, I have to say, that I've worked with, some of the large corporates here in South Africa where you spend a lot of time, sometimes at senior levels, what I notice is that I hear so much about the internal culture and how proud people are of their internal culture. But what's often in certain environments, and not all of them, doesn't get mentioned is the customer. And organizations that distinguish themselves from other organizations are those that have as one of their main value propositions that we go the extra distance for our customer, that we make sure that that there's a customer focus and not an internal focus. And because very often I find that internal focus is perceived as real arrogance. And there's some organizations that genuinely worry me, that are very successful today within the South African market. But I can tell you, I'm concerned about them because I don't, you know, when I've interacted with them from internally, I'm not seeing a focus on the external. I'm only seeing focus on this is who we are and we are wonderful and we have this culture, but not looking outside of it inwards to say, you know, this is something we should be looking at.
Howard, I worked with a client last year, and it was exactly that problem, is they just felt that they were not connecting with their customers. Mm-hmm. They really weren't connecting.
At least that's recognition.
Yeah, and I think it was fortunately the CEO who actually put his hand up and said, we need to do something about it. And I said, well, before anything, let me just observe what you guys are doing. And what I realized by just going through the experience of what they were experiencing every day is I found that this organization was consumed in meeting after meeting after meeting. And the irony of it, Howard, was that I would say as high as 80% of these meetings did not involve the customer. They were all about internal issues. They were all about profit margins. They were all about support, like internal support issues, internal, like you say, internal issues. And I sat down with the CEO and I said, the first thing you need to do is you need to call a halt to these meetings. And the way you do this is after 10 minutes, mm-hmm. if you If the customer is not virtually in the room, and what I mean by virtually in the room, if that meeting is not about the customer, it's a waste of time. You abandon that meeting and you tell people, go and sort this out bilaterally, go and sort this out as an issue, and the next time we meet, we talk about the customer. And it's incredible how, first of all, they've reduced their meeting significantly because people have now been forced to sort out their problems without calling everyone away from their desks to have a meeting. But the other thing now is the customer now takes preference as opposed to anything else. Because if you think about it, Howard, without the customer, there's no point in having a business.
Absolutely. It is 8:53 in Basra Abbey. Thank you. Fascinating conversation. That's where we leave it.